You guys want to start turning to John chapter 11 this morning. We're going to be in, every scripture is going to be out of John 11, so we won't be flipping anywhere else other than there. And as we entered into this Easter season, you know, last week I kind of mentioned that we were going to be looking ahead to Easter and kind of paying attention to every step of the way till we get to Easter and how we're in that season. I said that outside we don't know what season we're in. I think this morning is living proof of that. But as we approach Jesus' trip to Jerusalem, one of the last things that he did was raising Lazarus from the dead. A lot of you guys may remember the story, and we're going to be reading plenty of this passage here today, but let me set up how this all started. Lazarus had become sick, and they had sent people to Jesus to let him know that Lazarus was sick. And it says in the first part of John 11 here that Jesus loved Lazarus and his family. He loved Lazarus. He loved Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. This very well could have been written through John's eyes, since it's in the book of John, you know, the disciple that Jesus loved. And it's written through that lens. So, through John's personal relationship with Jesus, John understood that Jesus loves people equally. He loves each and every one of us. That Jesus truly cares for us. And Jesus, even though he loved Lazarus, he knew that he was going to use this to glorify God. He knew that this sickness would not end in death, but he never said that he wouldn't go through death first, but rather that it would glorify Jesus through it. There's a purpose greater than Lazarus' life being shown here. Lazarus was merely a vessel used by Jesus. Jesus is never late, he's seldom early, but he's always on time. So here Jesus had made a decision that after he had heard that Lazarus was sick, he waited two more days. He stayed where he was for two more days. That didn't sit well. Then he says, okay, now let's go to Judea, to Bethany, where Lazarus was laying. One of the signs that Jesus was the Messiah was that he would raise the dead. And Jesus had raised the dead a couple other times, but they were recently dead. They hadn't reached the time frame that people weren't quite sure if they were just sick with no signs of life or if they were actually dead. So Jesus purposely waited. He waited so that there was no doubt by the time that he got there that Lazarus was dead in the natural. So Jesus purposed to go to Judea, to Bethany. It's only 2 miles from Jerusalem. It's getting very close to those who don't want Jesus disrupting their way of life. In fact, the Mount of Olives is only about halfway between Bethany and Jerusalem. So it's very strategic where Jesus is heading. It's no accident that it's this close to Jerusalem. Jesus knew the word of this miracle would spread. In an area that had become increasingly, he had been increasingly threatened and was starting to threaten Jesus in the physical. So Lazarus has died. And Jesus stopped talking in parables and told the disciples clearly that Lazarus was dead as they approached. Now, when I was looking at this passage, though, I couldn't help but notice that there are different responses to Lazarus' death and Jesus coming when he did. The first response that we're going to look at is the response of Martha. So starting in verse 17 of John 11, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been there in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." We're going to pause right here. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. So even with Jesus waiting 2 days before leaving, Lazarus would have been dead already by the time he got there. But it had to be 4 days that Jesus waited. See, the belief at the time was that there was a superstition that the soul stayed near the body for 3 days after they passed. So Jesus purposely waited so that anybody that might want to try to explain this one away by science, does that sound familiar? Anybody that might try to reason it away by what the common knowledge is, he wanted to make sure that there was no doubt that he raised him from the dead. That there was no question. He was put in the tomb was sealed. There was going to be no way other than Jesus brought him back to life. Now Martha, she is the more practical of the two sisters. She thinks things through a little bit more than her sister. She's more in the long game mindset, so to speak. She understands that it's a marathon and not a sprint. So she speaks out of experience, or what she knows from past results. She tells Jesus, "If you hadn't been here, Lazarus would still be alive. You could have healed him like you've healed so many others. You could have put your hands on him and he would have bounced right up out of that bed." She had faith to see the healing. She believed in Jesus. She believed that he had the ability to make that happen. But she's also not shy about telling Jesus that she was upset or even frustrated that he hadn't been there sooner. That if he had been there sooner, Lazarus might have lived. She was seeing raising from the dead as being beyond what Jesus could do, what he was capable of. She was writing it off. She had just as much accepted that Lazarus was dead as she had accepted that Jesus could have healed him while he was still alive and kept him from dying in the first place. She somehow viewed death as being more powerful than Jesus. Little did she know what was in store, though. Martha, even with her accepting her brother's death, she recognized and accepted Jesus as the Messiah. She trusted him, even when facing disappointment. Even when experiencing the death of her brother, the frustration about it, she still chose to worship Jesus. This can be a lesson for us all today as well. Even when things don't go the way we think, we worship him. If we see something as being done and that God isn't going to do what we want, we still worship him. We still know and understand that he is good. Our love for God is not conditional on what the response is, not conditional on what the results are. We love God because he is God. So often, we think of Martha in a bit of a bad light, Because we read in the Gospels where we see that Mary's response of choosing to sit at Jesus' feet was somehow better than Martha's to do the work in hosting the meeting. That somehow Martha made the wrong decision at that point. That's not what the scripture says, though. Mary was doing what Mary was supposed to do. Martha was doing what Martha was supposed to do. Martha loved Jesus. She was on board with what Jesus was doing. She was worshiping him in her own way, with the talents that he made her with a desire to do the practical, with a desire to do her part. But she thought that Mary's response should be her response. She thought that the way she was doing it is how Mary should have been doing it as well. She thought that the burden that God gave her should be the burden that God gave Mary. I think there's a sermon on that part alone. If God's given you a burden for something, that's for you to carry out, not to just pass it on to someone else. Martha was sold out to Jesus. We see how she accepts that Lazarus is dead. And she says, okay, now what, God? Jesus, you're in control. Whatever you want is still good. She wasn't expecting Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead, even still. But if he wanted to, he could do it. This even now response from Martha is good. Some of the things that we have wrote off are our even now moments. Maybe it's a family member we wrote off. Even now, they could come to Christ. It doesn't matter how hard their heart is. Even now, God could do it. Whatever situation we're in, when things seem hopeless, even now, it could happen. Even now, God could restore it. He may have a blessing that we aren't expecting to come into. There's no physical condition, no financial situation, no broken relationship, no need that is too great for him. He is God. It could be that as dead as Lazarus was, but God can and will put life into whatever he wants. Jesus told Martha that her brother would rise again. And Martha understood that the dead would rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She knew the promises that God had made. She believed in that. But she wasn't thinking about the present will, the present relationship, and the personal word that God had for her. Sometimes we get to that point and we think about being in heaven, but the focus isn't on heaven. It's about kingdom living. Heaven's a given, but the focus is on the relationship now. His kingdom now. His kingdom come here on earth as it already is in heaven. God desires to meet with his people now. His promises, he can't go back on. The future of spending eternity is given, but we've got limited time here on this earth. Something worth noting here. The resurrection is something that the Pharisees actually believe in. The resurrection is the very thing that separated the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. They're very sad, you see. Good way to remember it. The distant promise of Lazarus being raised in the last day, though, was not what was comforting to Martha at the time. But Jesus had something greater planned with the right now for Martha. Jesus was explaining to Martha that the resurrection and the life was right in front of her at that point. Jesus wasn't waiting for the resurrection and life. He is the resurrection and life. That is where our resurrection is. That's where our life is. It's in that personal relationship with Jesus. That's how we're born again. We have that resurrection from the dead. The old us is dead, and the new us was brought to new life in Jesus through the personal relationship with Jesus. Believers in the flesh, in our mortal bodies, we will die. But our spirit man lives forever. Eternal life is found through Jesus. He's our source of life. He's the water that waters us. He's the bread that sustains us. When we're feeling down, we go back to the source of nutrition of Jesus. Now, I haven't seen a study lately. You guys know how I like my Barna research, my Pew research polls. But last time I heard, 10 out of 10 people die. At some point, we will stop living in this life. But we trust in Jesus. That he is who he says he is. And we are given that eternal life. He resurrects us not just for the afterlife, but he gives us a completely new life here on this earth. Jesus then asks Martha directly, "Do you believe this?" It's a personal question. It's a personal choice. You know, just as we sang this morning, it's our personal choice to choose joy over sorrow. It's our personal choice to choose healing. It's a personal choice to believe Jesus. Martha's the only one that can answer that. She had to check with her spirit lady. Is this something I truly believe in my heart? And then she affirms her belief in Jesus, that he is her comfort. Her comfort's in Jesus. Lazarus's other sister, Mary, had a response as well. We'll continue reading that in John 11. "And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.' As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, 'She is going to the tomb to weep there.' Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Does that sound familiar? "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' And some of them said, 'Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?'" You know, this is very familiar with these words. Seems to be an ongoing theme here. Mary said nearly the same thing as Martha. They were sisters, yet they had very different responses with the same words. Martha was much more composed than Mary. She might have had a more tough exterior. She may have cared how people saw her responding. The way she grieved was not the same way as her sister. But Mary was much more different here. She came weeping. She was a wreck. She was undone. Now, you parents know how your kids are different. You siblings know how you take things different than each other as well. You may have been raised in the same household, but everyone shows grief differently. Jesus saw Mary weeping, and he was moved with compassion. He didn't need an intellectual conversation with Mary like he did with Martha. How Jesus spoke to Martha was different than Mary. How he speaks to me is different than my brothers, and it's different than you all as well. But Jesus was moved with compassion. So he asks where Lazarus is laid. And we see the shortest, but one of the most strongest verses in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus showed his love for Lazarus. Jesus showed his love for Mary. He showed his love for Martha. God sees our hearts. He sees our heartaches. He sees our heartbreaks. He sees our tears. He is moved by what moves us. He sees the tears, the weeping. He's touched by our weeping. And his desire is to comfort us in the way that only he can. He knows what that is that's going to keep comfort each and every one of us. He may send somebody into our path at just the right time. He may give a word to us that will strengthen us in our time of weakness. The weeping that was going on with the people following Mary was to honor the person who passed away. The custom of that time was that it was a loud wailing type of weeping. The belief was that the louder the weeping and the more people mourning, the more honor that was given to the person. But the word wept in the verse where Jesus wept was more of a quiet weeping, showing that he was deeply grieved. It wasn't the public display of weeping. He was seeing how Mary felt with this all. He groaned because of the outward act that was trying to impress men. He had a righteous anger moment here because people thought they were doing good, but it wasn't with the right heart. Grieving is a natural thing. It's how our hearts heal a lot of times. And Jesus saw how they were blaming him for Lazarus dying. They were saying, hey, if he can open the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? It's very interesting that everybody's thinking of the way they would have done it. They weren't thinking about, okay, God, is there anything else you're going to do? Is there a limit to how far dead somebody could be before you bring them back to life? So this is where we see Jesus's response now. Continuing in verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. She's always a thinker. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would have believed, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. The tomb would smell, but it must be done. They had faith for what they thought Jesus could have done up until that point with healing the sick. But Jesus wanted their faith to go so much higher than that. He wanted their faith to go beyond where it already was. He didn't want them to limit what he could do. He wanted the box that they had him in to be obliterated. They all asked why he didn't keep Lazarus from dying, instead of asking, "Lord, is there anything else you can do? Something, just something. Is there anything that could be done?" So Jesus had prayed, thanking God that he would be glorified, thanking God that they would see what would happen, that they would see that God sent Jesus for this very moment. He wasn't shy about speaking to the tomb and speaking to Lazarus's dead body, telling it to come back to life, commanding it to come for Lazarus to come forth. Lazarus was still wrapped in the grave clothes. He was still bound up by the grave clothes, but he was no longer a victim of the grave. Jesus used Lazarus to demonstrate that nothing is out of reach. Nothing is too far gone for Jesus, whatever any of us are limiting God with. We can say to our Lazarus, come forth. There's something that we've said that we've thought is too much for God, or we fully didn't recognize his capabilities in our lives, that we've held back our faith to what we've seen him do before, but we can release that and let him increase our faith. We can increase our faith in what he will do because he is faithful to do it. God is capable of the most wildest, hardest thing we can think of, and then some. There's one more response in this passage. Now we get to see the Pharisees' response to all of this. Finishing out, starting in verse 45. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also that he would gather in the one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there he remained with his disciples. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but they didn't want to accept that this man was the Messiah. They didn't think that this was God, because it's not how they planned it out. They cared more about their personal position or status than embracing the Savior of the world. They gathered others around them. They agreed that Jesus was a threat to their way of life, that what they had grown accustomed to, they might lose. These were religious people. They were the people that should have known the signs of the Christ coming. The high priest of the time himself throws out the plan. It's the person in power proclaiming it from his mouth, prophesying it, as John put it, that Jesus would die for the people. if only he had known that what he had prophesied for death would bring life to so many. The Pharisees and Sadducees had decided that they would find a way to get their way. They had ways that they were convincing themselves that it was a good way for them to do it. See, Jesus was a threat to what they knew, what they thought. God was doing it in a way that only he could. That the only explanation would be that this man is the Son of God. Jesus had a walking, talking miracle after that. Lazarus himself was a walking, talking billboard for what had happened. He was a living sign of what Jesus could do. But the Pharisees didn't like it. They wanted to get rid of the evidence. They wanted to get rid of Lazarus to hide him. They wanted to get rid of Jesus so that nobody would continue to try to follow him. Because the response was, this is not of God. See, when God does something different than what everyone else is used to, people oftentimes have different responses, both inside the church and outside the church. May respond like the Pharisees, or Martha, or Mary, or even the grumbling Jews that had believed in him. Jesus had a response. Lazarus had a response. The people who rolled the stone away had a response. The people who untied Lazarus' grave clothes had a response. But it was their response. We have to watch what our response is too. We need to be willing to accept that God, there might be something that you're doing here. Have a good on good authority that God is going to continue to move in ways that we do not expect. The best way to check to see if something's of God or not is to let Holy Spirit lead the way. Check with him if it's God. The one living inside of us is going to be able to confirm if it's God more quickly than anything else, more accurately than anyway else. He is the standard that we compare to. Filter it through Holy Spirit. When we draw from the relationship we have with Jesus, we can't help but reflect who he is to those around us. We embrace him and what he is doing. We can't write off anything as being too far gone for God to touch. Or that's how God's going to respond to something or not. We have to accept that God is going to move in ways that we may not want, that we may not expect, but we trust God nonetheless. We recognize our own Lazaruses in our lives, that thing that we've said is dead. If God wants it alive, we tell it to come forth. So we can release our faith. We can increase our faith. God wants to build our faith. He's capable of anything. There is no impossible with God. In fact, it says, with God, all things are possible. So good. Let's pray. Well, Father, help us have faith for the amazing God. Lord, help us have faith for the unbelievable, for the unexpected. Lord, help us expect the unexpected, God. Lord, don't let us write anything off as being too far gone for you, God, because we know that all things are possible with you, God. And we speak those forth this morning. Lord, we do lift up those family members that we have said are too far gone, God. those family members that we say have too hard of a heart to ever recognize you. Lord, we had hope for a while. We had hope for a while. We had hope for a while, God. And then we lost it. Lord, give us that faith again, God. God, increase what you want to increase. Lord, show us that they are still within your grasp. Lord, we intercede for them. We cry out for them, God. Lord, as we enter into this Easter season, God, let us proclaim your goodness in a way that they will see. Lord, let us proclaim your goodness in a way that they will receive it, God. Lord, and guide us in how that's to be done, because you are the one who knows them better than anybody else. Lord, any situation in anybody's life that's here today, God, Lord, show them that you have plans. Lord, anything that's not going as planned, God, show them that you still have a plan. And your plans are always good. Lord, help our hearts accept and receive what is of you. Lord, show us, according to your Spirit, what you are doing. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we repent for putting you in a box. Lord, we repent for putting limitations on you. Lord, whatever you want, we say we're in. Do what you've always wanted to do, God, in us and through us, God. Lord, we glorify your name. We praise your holy name, Jesus. We thank you that your name is above every other name. We honor you, God. We praise you for raising the Lazaruses in our life, God, back to life the way that only you can. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen.